Hi, I'm Leah Lane, an award-winning travel writer and author of Places I Remember, Tales, Truths, Delights from 100 Countries. On this podcast, we share conversations with travelers about fascinating destinations and memorable experiences around the world. I've visited most of the places we talk about on Places I Remember, and I love to share information and memories with our guests from all over the world. But sometimes I talk about places I hope to get to, and today is one of those times. It's called aspirational travel, and most of us have it, hearing and learning about places we long to visit. Often we can make it happen with planning and patience. I just missed going to Iran a couple of years ago. And friends who've traveled there rave about the friendly people, the ancient treasures, and the beauty. They describe mountains such as Mount Damavand, lush forests of northern Iran, the unique Lut Desert, and historic cities filled with tile work such as Shiraz and Esfahan. The many centuries of the Persian Empire are layered throughout the country. Iran has one of the oldest, richest, and most influential art heritages in the world. Think of literature and poetry, music, dance, architecture, painting, weaving, pottery, calligraphy, metalworking, and stonemasonry. And Iranian or Persian people, as they are often known, are incredibly friendly. I've heard that from friends and remember a segment with Anthony Bourdain on his travel show On Location there, marveling at the friendliness. So today we'll be talking about Iran with Patty Essay, who was born in Iran. Known as the Duchess of Decorum by her loyal 850,000 TikTok followers, Patty has established herself as the expert of P's and Q's. She's a lawyer and has moved to Los Angeles and spent the last 20 years in a multifaceted career focused in finance. Hi, Patty, and welcome to Places I Remember.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about Iran, where you were born and lived for at least a few years. How old were you when you came to the United States?
I was 7 when I came to the United States. We actually had to flee due to the Iranian Revolution. Yeah, it was really hectic trying to get out. We were actually on the last flight allowed out of Iran. After our flight left, they closed down the airspace.
Wow, you just made it. I know you've returned, but what do you remember most about Iran?
I really remember being with my family the most. We had a big family. My dad has, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters. So we used to spend so much time together, and we would have these huge family gatherings. I mean, huge, and 30, 40 people would show up, and that's just family. That's really one of my favorite memories out of Iran.
There are many Iranians who call themselves Persians in L.A., where you live. I'm thinking of the Shahs of Sunset, the show that I've watched.
Yes.
Tell us about the expat community here.
It's interesting that in L.A., L.A. has the largest Iranian population outside of Iran. So there are tons of Iranians in L.A. And I didn't grow up in L.A. We first moved to Texas, and then I lived in Colorado. I didn't move to L.A. until 2001. It's really a different culture because, you know, they have an area in L.A. they call Tehrangelis or Irangelis. And it's so amazing. Like, it's all Iranian restaurants and bookstores, and everything's written in Iranian writing. I love living in L.A. just for that reason alone.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the tourism situation. People can travel to Iran freely, including Americans, but they do need to know about tours and visas before planning their trip. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, you do need a visa to travel to Iran. And one thing people need to be aware of is, just like any other country that you go to, there are rules that you have to follow. There's rules when I went to Thailand, for example, that I had to follow that I didn't know. So in Iran, there's rules you have to follow. Women have to cover their hair, and you have to wear kind of like a light coat. You can't wear tight fitting clothing or anything that shows your body. But other than that, it's pretty casual. It's not what people think it may be.
I know. I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
I mentioned that it's so friendly. It's outstanding. Yep. I do think you should check with the State Department and the Centers for Disease Control, obviously, before you go anywhere today, especially in a country where there's a complicated relationship. But Iran is a very safe place to travel. I've heard it described as the safest country I've ever been to.
Yep.
On Yeah, that's a quote, or much safer than traveling in Europe. So that's good to know.
It's very safe because, I mean, the laws are pretty strict, right? You know, you don't have the same issues you have as far as like women walking down the street and being afraid to get raped or anything like that, because the laws are very strict and it deters a lot of crime.
Right. So I know you've returned to Iran several times since yes. you've come here. And I've done a bit of research and hoping to go there someday. So let's talk a bit about what makes Iran special as a place to visit whenever the time comes. Let's start with the capital city.
Tehran is an incredible city. It used to be called the Paris of the Middle East when the Shah was there. So it's a huge metropolis, great shopping, great food, and it's really a mountainous region. People think of Iran like the rest of the Middle East, which is just flat desert, and it couldn't be further from the truth. There's a mountainous region within 30 minutes of Tehran. You can go skiing, and there's hills and valleys.
Well, sounds beautiful. I know from 1592 to 1722, Isfahan was the capital of Persia, and I know that is a beauty spot. Tell us a little bit why it's so known for beauty.
Oh my gosh. Just the architecture alone in Isfahan is amazing. The mosques are amazing, and it's smaller, so it's easier to get to. They have like this whole waterfront area where, you know, people gather around the water, and all these just fountains, and just the architecture alone is just mind blowing. Whoever designed Isfahan is just incredible.
I heard about the bridges of Isfahan where there are many arches and people read Persian poetry there, and it echoes through the arches, and it's very, very like Shahrazad, 1001 Nights. And there are 9 of them, 9 bridges. So that alone is something to see. But and I know the main square, which was once a royal polo field, mm-hmm. has many things around it. It has mosques and palaces and pictures, and it's beautiful.
And the lighting, especially at night, I mean, it's just gorgeous. It's unlike anything you've ever seen.
Oh. There's a nearby desert city called Kashan. And I know there are many historical homes there. And I was told that try to visit a few of them if you can, that because of the ceilings, the frescoes, the courtyards with pomegranate trees. Mm-hmm. And in the spring, especially, would that be the best time to visit, would you say?
Absolutely, in the spring, because it gets very hot in the summer and humid. So the spring is really, really a great time to visit, and everything's blooming. And again, Iran just has a lot of green and foliage. Springtime is amazing.
How about the ancient capital city of Persepolis? Tell us about that.
I've been there, and just the site itself and the monuments that are there. And, you know, what you see is a lot of it was destroyed, right? And burnt down, but there are still remains and ruins there. And
closest I've gotten was in Berlin. I visited the Pergamon Museum, and they have mm-hmm. something called the Persepolis Friezes, where you have some pictures. I know it's only a tiny bit of it. Yep. But it is so spectacular that the museum is one of the most visited. It is the most visited museum in Germany.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And that's one of the reasons, the great things that you can find there. How about some other special things? There's some place called Babak Castle. Tell us about that.
Yes, Babak Castle. It's gorgeous. You walk in, and just the intricacies of the inside of the castle, just gold everywhere. You know, we're Persian, right? And we love gold, and our ancestors love gold. So it's huge.
I know it's at the top of a mountain. It was once a fort, and it's the national symbol of Iran. So it must be quite something to get up there, and worth it. I think it's about 8,000 feet up there, but worth it for people who aren't afraid of heights.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. What about Chagat Sambil, this first Iranian site registered with UNESCO? It's a ziggurat. You know, a ziggurat is a type of ancient pyramid, and it has baked bricks layered within the structure, and a centuries-old footprint of a child is roped off towards the back. Have you visited that?
I remember visiting that as a child, because we had also gone to Egypt when I was a kid. I was like, oh my gosh, we have pyramids in Iran as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're more special because they have more interesting structure. They're really like Lego.
Right, exactly. They're a lot more interesting. It's not just like this plain pyramid. It's really thought through as far as how the structure was put together.
Right. It's amazing. I've only seen pictures, but that's one of the places I would want to go. How about a boat ride on the Anzali Lagoon?
I have never been on that boat ride. However, I know plenty of people that have and just rave about it. But unfortunately, that's one thing that I haven't done yet.
Well, the houses are built on stilts, I know that, and there are birds all over and water lilies and water lotuses, so it sounds gorgeous. We should both go there sometime
next soon. Time I'm in Iran, for sure. Yeah.
Let me see. How about Rodkan Castle? Tell me about that. Did you visit that as a child?
I visited that as a child. And, you know, these castles are just so ornate. And, you know, being a kid, you walk in and then you see all these, like, just when you first walk in, all the foliage and the trees and just like this amazing, just like all these tall trees. And you're just looking up like as a child, go, oh my gosh. You walk in and just the ornateness of it is.
And it's ancient. And you're also looking up because it's called the Castle of 1,000 Steps. Climb.
Kid. And like my poor dad had me like on his shoulders getting me up those stairs.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was a kid, you know, you can't climb 1,000 stairs.
No, but your dad had quite a road to go there. Now, to get to some of these interesting places, to travel to the north is a road called the Chalice Road. Do you recommend taking that road?
Well, I don't know if I recommend it, but I've taken it. So, and it's a mountainous region, right? It is so, the lanes are really small. If a big truck is coming, you have to kind of pull over. It's a very scary ride. Last time I was in Iran, I took the drive. Yeah, it's very scary. The cliff is right there. So you're wrong move. And
well, that's why it's so pretty. It's always that way all around the world. The pretty drives are the scary drives.
Exactly.
Depends on your risk factor, I guess, to some degree.
Right.
Now, there's something called pigeon towers that really intrigued me when I read about them. Pigeons are nuisances to most people, but they were valuable in Iran because they were used for their droppings to use as fertilizer. So these towers would be built holding as many as 14,000 pigeons, and they're very ancient. Have you seen any or heard about
them? I remember my father taking me to one of these towers. And, you know, you're a kid and birds are like the thing for you, right? And all these pigeons all over the place. And I couldn't wrap my head around why all these pigeons were in this one tower. But yeah, they were used for fertilizer. That's exactly what it was. And that's why we kept them around.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, Hormuz Island, have you visited there?
Yes, Hormuz Island I have. And Hormuz Island is an island off of Iran. And it's a little bit more lax than the country itself. So I haven't been in a while, but it's beautiful there.
I told the colors are red and orange and yellow and geology. It's just a gorgeous place for geologists and nature enthusiasts.
It's very, very colorful. I mean, you can't even, it's something again that you can't describe that you won't see any other place.
Are there places that are fun, like a beach place that you would recommend?
We always went to Shomal and as a child, and that's like, I say the classy Jersey Shore of Tehran or Iran. And we would go there as a child and we would always go to the beach and we would just have so much fun. It was just like the place to go. And I remember my uncle having a home there. We would go with my cousins and we'd just have the best time on the beach. And it's still there and it has great hotels. Women have to be very modest. And I think they've separated out the beach men versus women's side. But it's still an amazing place. They have great hotels there. So I recommend anybody going into that area.
Good to know. Now, Shiraz, I've left that for last. I think it's especially beautiful. It's an ancient city, once rivaling Baghdad. In 1724, the city was sacked by Afghan invaders, but there are many buildings from that era remaining. And also gorgeous mosques. There's the Pink Mosque. Can you tell us about what makes that one of the most beautiful of many beautiful
mosques? Oh my gosh, the Pink Mosque. It's just like this different, it changes colors depending on time of day. So you have light pink and it's dark pink and just it's the way that they built it is really reflective of how the sun's going to hit it. So when the sun hits it differently, it changes like the different colors of pink and it is just gorgeous.
I was told it's like a kaleidoscope. When the stained glass comes down in different places, like you're saying, it covers you and everything else. And there's a real, you know, it was built with that in mind, the idea of beauty at all times of the day, which is not about Iran. So also there is a poet named Hafez buried in Shiraz. And I hear you can stroll through the gardens and read his 700-year-old romantic poems. That sounds exciting.
I've done that. Hafez is amazing. I've seen his tomb. His poems are just incredible. So yeah, I took a tour there and all his poems are there and you could read them.
Sounds like I want to go to Shiraz a lot.
You do. You really do.
I do. Now, I know there's a name of a grape called Shiraz, that they created great red wine through history, although Muslims today in the country are forbidden to drink alcohol. Others can. But of course, there's great Persian food. So I would like to know a little bit about an ideal meal. What would you have at a table where you were just enjoying yourself immensely? What are some of you?
Sure. So, okay. It depends on whether you're going out to eat or at home. So let's start with out to eat. So if you're going out to eat, this staple Persian meal is called chero kebab, which translates. So you have different types of kebabs and you have a plate of rice and you eat that together. That's typically served with raw onions and sumac. Chero kebab is typically something you don't make at home because kebabs are really an art. And, you know, you always say you can't really make the kebabs at home like you do or like they do at a restaurant. So that is really what you do with, like, the fancy thing you do when you go out. However, inside the home, stews you typically eat inside the home and not out because they're just not as good as when you make it at home. So one of the stews, it's a green stew, it's called korma sabzi. And this green stew is made with 5 different types of greens. So it's made with cilantro, parsley, spinach, and it's mixed with meat, like beef typically, and red kidney beets. And you serve that over rice. So it's a very like earthy type flavor to it.
It sounds very healthy and
very
delicious.
Healthy. Although we put a little bit of butter in there somewhere.
Oh, that's okay.
Oil, but yeah.
All right.
And then another stew is called peymeh. And this is a red stew. It also has beef in it, but you make it with yellow lentils. So you make it with yellow lentils and beef. And then sometimes you actually put eggplant in there. It's called peymeh bademjoun, which is an eggplant that goes into that. So those are the two, I would say, most famous types of stews in Iran that you would eat at home.
And how would you eat? Would you sit around a table? Would you use your hands, your fingers, or would you?
Well, Iranians really don't use their fingers too much. That's an ancient tradition, but we've really grown away from that. So I don't know anyone in Iran that uses their hands to eat anymore. We do use, different from the U.S., we use a spoon and a fork to eat our meals. Basically, what you do is you use the spoon as a scoop, and then you use your fork to like scoop the food inside your spoon, and then you put the spoon in your mouth.
That makes sense because you get the sauce. And so many times that sauce falls through the fork, and it doesn't make sense. I like that.
Exactly.
Now tell me, what would you drink with a meal like that typically?
Typically, okay, Coca-Cola is huge with meals like that. But we have another drink. It's called dulp. It is a yogurt drink and it's a sour yogurt drink. So people that aren't used to it feel like it tastes like sour milk, you know, they'll drink it. They're like, what is this? But it's a carbonated yogurt drink that's sour and you can get with or without mint. And that is a very traditional drink to have with Iranian meals.
It sounds refreshing.
Oh, it's very fresh. And I love it. Again, I grew up on it. It's sour, but I really enjoy it.
Well, I'm in. The name of the podcast is Places I Remember. So, Patty, please give us one more favorite memory of Iran.
One of my favorite memories of Iran is being with my dad in the car and going to get the kebabs from the restaurant. And what you do is if you don't want to eat the kebabs at the restaurant, you take a big pot, your own pot, and you take it to the restaurant and they fill it up with rice and they fill it up with kebab. And yeah, and they put the lid on it and then you bring that home. And we used to do that every weekend. We would do that. And that was just a special time that I spent with my dad one-on-one. And to be able to do something cool like that was so much fun. I remember that very, very vividly.
That's lovely. Lovely. Food is so often a favorite memory of our guests.
Yes.
For whatever reason, family, senses, whatever it is, it brings back a lot of memories. Well, thank you, Patty Essay. On TikTok, you're the Essay Factor, the Duchess of the Quorum. Yeah. Thank you for helping us to see the wonders of Iran. I hope sometime to visit, and I hope some of the many special things we've mentioned will help encourage listeners to visit as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I have big news. In 2022, Places I Remember is bi-weekly, dropping every other Tuesday. And on alternate weeks, I'll be featuring tips and trips on YouTube. So you can continue listening to our Places I Remember podcasts and also watch me on our Places I Remember videos. See you soon. Thanks for listening to our award-winning podcast. We've recorded over 100 episodes of Places I Remember, so follow us on any podcast app. And new monthly episodes are also on YouTube with gorgeous video. My book, Places I Remember, is available in print and Kindle, and I read the audio version. Follow my travel writing at Forbes.com. Contact me at the links in the show notes or on my website, placesiremember.leahlane.com, and keep making your own travel memories.